All right, welcome to another edition of the Fryer Phil Show. If you're wondering why I've played the same music two weeks in a row, this is my generic theme for the program, because I got yelled at by the powers that be at Anchor, saying, you can't use a copyrighted song, and we'll take your stuff down. So instead of having to deal with all that, I got some royalty-free, and if you're listening, Anchor, this is royalty-free music straight off of Spotify. So there. I got Corey, the Dancing Fryer, on with me today because I figured we needed a little bit of levity, especially after last night, and that would be Thursday, the 18th game, where we couldn't manage to score but one run during the entire fucking game, playing the Nationals, one of the crappier teams in the major leagues. So I thought we'd bring Corey on and have a little bit of levity and talk a little bit of Padres baseball. How you doing, Corey?
Awesome. I wish you had played this song. Here I am again on my own.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I could hum
it. It's deja vu all over again, baby. It's right. Like I feel like the old Padres after last night's kafoodle.
Oh.
Kafoodling. Did we get kafoodled? Did we kafoodle?
We weren't kafoodling much because striking out and just it just pisses me off, the whole fucking thing.
Yu Darvish has a gem of a game, a fucking Emerald City of a game. He just pitched like a wizard. 95 pitches. We're in the ninth inning. We're watching him pitch. Now, what do you care whether or not he completed the game or he didn't, or they brought in Hader and Hader flubbed? I'm not a Hader hitter. I'm a Hader lover, I got to tell you, first of all. But more importantly, I first saw Yu Darvish pitch a few years ago. And I've always enjoyed just the craft he has around. He reminds me a bit of like Maddox, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's just an art form to the way he performs. And and he's uniform, but he's also very cagey. So I watched him pitch last night. I was like, holy fuck, this is a gem. If you like pitching battles, you'll love this game.
Mm-hmm.
Why could we not get our bats off our shoulders? I don't know. There was a ton of strikeouts yesterday.
These guys pressing too much, pop-outs, trying to hit home runs to catch up, you name it, instead of just moving the goddamn runners home. I can't understand that, you know. And it has to do with their approach or something they're doing. I mean, we got Juan Soto. Yeah, who's supposed to be so goddamn good? Yeah, I didn't know anything of Juan Soto before we started doing this trade stuff, because I really don't pay attention to players on other teams. But he's supposed to be good. Bell is supposed to be good, you know. And then we have players like Trent Grisham, who can't manage to hit the ball unless he's bunting. It just the whole thing just pissed me off, and I was glad I left early last night. Usually I don't leave early, but I had to last night because the battery in my chair was dying, and I didn't want to get stuck in the ghetto someplace in the middle of the night with a chair that didn't work.
It's almost 10 times as bad when your phone is just about to die and you're like, I have but one call left and one dime in my pocket. Who do I choose to call? No, in this case, the level of your chair's energy level just didn't cut the mustard. Do you have you don't have one of those little backup packs, do you?
No, but I'm considering buying one.
I think the Padres should be in a wheelchair. Honestly, I think that their limited mobility recently has been atrocious.
Oh, yeah. Somebody, a power chair they need too, you know, so we can start scoring some runs. I mean, I'm not one of the people that thinks that every time they play, they need to win, you know, because that's not realistic. And sometimes you do lose to crappy teams. But it seems like time and time again, these guys in the second half of the season, just like last year, start tanking. And it's a shame because, like you said, it was a gem of a game pitched by Darvish last night. Snell is pitching tonight. He's doing much better. And we'll see what happens with that game. You know, obviously it hasn't happened yet because we're recording this at 4 in the afternoon and the game is at 6:40. And my psychic ability isn't working yet.
Well, let's look back at the past practice here. One thing that's the 1,000-pound gorilla / 8-ton hairy-chested elephant in the room is Luke Voit showed up last night. Didn't really do much, but it was fun to watch the people of San Diego.
Luke.
I thought it was great, and of course it was copious. People were cheering even after the first. Usually you give the guy like, hey, we loved you. You were cool. You were here for a short period of time, but. Then the second time at bat, they don't usually cheer like that, but they did it throughout the end. Like, everybody did it. I'm standing next to this kid last night, and the kid goes, oh, that's a shame, man. He didn't want to be traded. And I said, no, they're saying Luke. He goes, oh, I thought they were booing him.
Yeah, at first I thought that's what they were doing, too. And I'm like, why are you booing the guy? He was one of the more popular players here, even though he was here for a short time. He was one of the more popular players. I don't know if it was the chest hair or what it was, but there was something about Luke Voit that fans liked.
We booed Matt Kemp when he came back. We booed, I mean, go down the list of people who come back, even our tried and true old time Padres. They're guys that traded in and then traded out. Like, I remember the people booing both Justin Upton and whatever BJ's calling himself now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, these guys were foils before, even they were on the team.
Right. I was happy to see C.J. Abrams playing shortstop. And I guess he's the regular shortstop for the Nationals now. And, you know, the kid earned it. And even though he was traded to a team that sucks, at least he's getting playing time.
Well, they were good enough to beat us last night.
Yeah. Well, we beat ourselves. Oh, that sounds dirty, doesn't it? We beat ourselves. Because what we do, like I said, with the approach and the either they're coming up, they're swinging at crap, or they're swinging too hard, or they're trying to do too much and forget that Bob had said to them, you know, less is more, do what you need to do, you know, not more than you need to do, because it doesn't work. You pop up foul, you strike out, you ground out to shortstop, you know, just ridiculous hits, and you just can't get a single done, you know, and that's all it needed was a single or a double. I don't know. I forget what inning it was, but we had the bases loaded again, and we just couldn't move any of the runners home.
Well, as Coach Tamburino used to say in Ramona baseball, he'd say, well, the boys just need to learn to play with themselves together.
Play with themselves together. I won't tell the people what I said about Juan Soto last night at the park.
I just want to say that I'm a huge fan of his. I'm totally gay for Juan Soto. As a matter of fact, I'm a Soto Hodo.
Oh, I like Spanish. Juan. You know, I like his attitude. I like how he presents
First of all,
himself.
He gets that in that crouch in the stance when he's up to bat, and it just looks like he's gonna crush somebody's head.
Yeah,
doesn't he? Just got that
with those
just,
power legs.
The legs and the whole arm thing is like he's gonna crush somebody's head. you know, I'm just waiting for these guys to pick up the mantle together. What you want a team to be is a team that's gritty, and when they're down, they come back. You don't want a team who's, like last night, you know, tied and then feeble. Like you said, guys trying to hit home runs in the fifth and sixth inning, like you're watching that going like, guys, you got people on. You don't need to crush it out the park. You want, you know, you just need to hit a bloop and advance the runner, and then you yourself advance to the next one. Just station to station baseball. It's the best way to play.
And, right? And they know that. They've played station to station baseball in the last week for one of their games.
What's the freaking obstacle? I'm watching people talk about it on the Twitterverse today, and I had to get a kick out of it because it was like, change the – there were some funny lines. One guy was like, change the hitting coach. Change the pitching coach. Like, it was like, and then he was like, the data matrix that we've been using to study lines, let's – if we have one of those, get rid of it. Get another one.
Right. You know? I don't know what the answer is, you know. Maybe they need... I don't know what they need.
Here we go. Angelo in SD says, hire an advanced analytic company to help you with strategy. If you already have one, then get a different one. Exactly. It comes down to grit at certain points and confidence. Baseball, as we know, is a game of strange attractors. Uh-huh. You know, if you start playing well, you start getting your confidence back, your numbers go up precipitously. It begets itself, right? It the best part about baseball is that it's such a long sport, 6 months worth of statistics to be able to just dive in face first and have it dripping off your cheeks and off your lips. This is the sort of stuff that real nerds enjoy. Like, you know, just the statistics of things. That's why baseball has its beauty, right? Here we are now, only we've got to be on the back half of the last third of the season. There's an old expression, every team wins 54 games, every team loses 54 games. It's what you do with the other 54 that make the difference, right?
Right.
And so ultimately, we are on that back half of that third of baseball. Now, what we do at this point, you know, I'm curious where this is going to take us. Trends are not in our favor, my friend.
No, and it makes me so sick to my stomach thinking back. As early as June 23rd, I had my friend E.T. on the program, and we were...
E.T.?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember when he phoned home.
Yeah. They were tied for first place with the Dodgers. Fast forward to August, and how many behind are we now? 17, 16?
I'm trying not to look. I'm just trying to focus on things like, are we over 500 still?
Yeah.
Well, are we winning series still? We still have Cleveland in front of us here for the rest of the week. Washington and Cleveland. A four-game series. So I am not worried, but ask me tonight at 10 p.m. if I feel the same.
Mm-hmm. We're 66-55. The Nationals are 40-80. You know, that tells the story right there. Who should be producing more runs? Who should have the better pitching? Who should have... a bullpen that's good, you know. And poor A.J. Preller, he must be pulling his hair out now because, you know, Hader was supposed to be such a good closer, best in the league and everything else, and he comes out and has two bad outings. I'm thinking, though, it might have been because it's been 9 days since he pitched and he was rusty. Not that something's wrong with him.
Again, it's trends. The next outing, if he has a good outing, I'll switch my entire, you know, view of him. But I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater yet. Just need some little tweaks and adjustments. I'll tell you. Oh, geez. Sorry. Could you hear that?
No.
My apologies. That was an alarm reminding me that laundry is imminent.
Oh.
So when I look at where these guys are, and where they will potentially go over the next few weeks. Think about this. this four-game series against Washington, so they're back at home to reset their buttons. They didn't do it last night, but give it tonight, okay? And then they got a day off on Monday, a two-game series for some fucking reason against the Guardians, and then a day off at that point, right? So, and then they move out to Kansas City. So here we are, the dog days of summer. It's still schvitzy as all get up outside. And I think if the Padres are watching where they are in the wild card race, they're in the wrong place. They need to be just winning the games that are in front of them. They don't need to be worried about where Atlanta is or where Philadelphia is, or that the Brewers are chomping at their fucking bits, you know, their tail with 63 wins right now, 55 losses. Where we need to be is just in tonight's game, the pitching matchup against Snell and whoever the fucker is pitching for them. What is his name?
Espino,
who's what? 0-5? Like, come on.
Right. 4.20 ERA.
So let's get deep into this guy early on. And what sometimes happens is we have these laugher games right after, like, shitty losses, which makes me feel good. Like, they're pissed and they're focused and they're making adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to see what the trend is with this team, though, by just looking at their schedule and looking at their win-loss records and what they've done this year. There are some weird little elements, you know, streaks of losing to, you know, San Francisco and losing to Colorado. Remember that whole piece of shit?
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, going out to New York and beat the Mets and then losing to Detroit, that whole thing that was going on in July. It was... there was a lot of back and forth. I guess what I'm getting at is I haven't been able to figure out what the trend is, but I'll say this. When you look at where things are with Fernando Tatis, like, that was a blighting on us, right? Mm-hmm. That was something where Padre fans aren't used to being thought of as the butthole, you know, steroid boys. But here you go. They even gave away their giveaway, canceled the bobblehead giveaway. They put them on the shelf, I guess, Tatis's bobbleheads.
Oh, yeah. Now it's a Soto City Connect shirt giving away. That's on September 7th, by the way.
Oh, it's coming up. That's right. We're getting... aren't we the middle of the end of the month in August already? Where the fuck did the summer go?
I don't know. Out the window, down the toilet. I don't know. I hope isn't down the toilet, but
exactly. September looks pretty fucking awesome. If you look at the schedule straight ahead of you, you got, you know, you're going out there and you're doing Kansas City. This is the road games. Kansas City, San Francisco lead you into the beginning of the Dodger series at the beginning of September, right? Mm-hmm. Going back up there and going back into the mouth of the lion when they've got the following games over Labor Day. They got Arizona and Sandy and the Dodgers at home, all right? And then the rest of the way there, you're going against Seattle Mariners, more Diamondbacks. They play St. Louis, which is going to be interesting. That's where the stumbling block may happen. Colorado, and then the Dodgers again. So we line up against the Dodgers in September three fucking times, bro.
Mm.
Like, this is where you want to build your inertia. Like, get the yips out now. Get the yips out now. Like, let yourself get back in that place where you're the joy of baseball. Whenever you watch movies about baseball, what's the one thing that when they get lost on their journey, they forget the joy they had as a child playing baseball?
Yeah, the fun. The fun is taken out of it. And I call it playing while under duress, you know. And that's what they're doing a lot of the times, too. You know, shit, I've got to keep up with Manny Machado. He's hit another home run, so I got to go up there and do that, too.
What did you hear about Blake Snell getting in a minor traffic accident? He was struck by a DUI suspect a little while ago, but they cleared him to come back tonight?
Yeah, I guess so. He's still on the schedule. He's on the lineup for tonight. Looking at the scoreboard, he's still up there with...
he's hit by a drunk driver on Thursday night by the I-5, you know, on the 5 somewhere. And a cop had stop Snell for a traffic violation. Who knows? You know, he's Snell, probably driving with too many shoes on his hands. Because as we know, he loves shoes. But he stopped, and he and the cop almost get sideswiped by a fucking drunk driver. This is fucking ridiculous.
Only in San Diego.
Yeah. So, that's anywho. Crazy.
Well, fortunately, he's okay, so that's good. Well, that's good that Snell got cleared anyhow. And looks like he's able to pitch tonight. The elephant in the room, though, because I haven't talked about it yet, is Tatis. And his magic cream.
Hey, ringworm, baby.
Yeah, I had ringworm, and I put the cream on, and even though it says it, you know, on the label, it's a banned drug. I put it on by mistake. I don't believe any of that bullshit, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what. That Clonoval is used in everything down in South America. It's used as a steroid for most of your cattle, so it's in your beef. It's in a lot of medicines down there. So topical things, and it's not listed on there. You know, that's on him. It wasn't listed on there. But I tend to think it's two things. One, when we cannot equate the usage of something to make you heal, right, with Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, and the crew from back in the back in the 80s and 90s, right?
Right.
Like, it's not the same thing. So when we look at steroids, it is a treatment that you and I are afforded, right? When we get injured from our physicians, a physician may actually give that to you to heal a little quicker. But professional athletes are not allowed to do that. And yet these contracts are at stake for them, right? So you can imagine a 22-year-old kid who's thinking to himself, I want to get fucking better. Because I need to heal from this injury that I fucked up on, you know, this winter, and I could see that he would make this stupid ass decision to do it. Now, granted, somebody should be there watching these guys. He's owed money to what's the big company that he was his minor league contract had gone to. I can't think of the name of it. But basically, they hire these guys who have potential big upside contracts to large contracts, and they pay them while they're in minor leagues because they pay such a paltry fucking amount of money.
Right.
So here's a kid who's already owed money to a lot of people because of his contract, and he's fucked up and got hurt. Okay, great. So the choice between that and a guy who's trying to get bigger and faster and stronger, right? Like a performance enhancing, thing could be, how about glasses? You know, you look at a player who's naturally has not good vision and he can actually go out and wear glasses. Is that a performance enhancing device right there? Is he allowed to use that? Are glasses allowed? Honestly, this is a rethinking of what we've already seen with regards to steroids. That being said, I'm making excuses. He shouldn't have fucking done it.
Well, you made a good point, though. You know, because there was a difference between Tatis allegedly getting the cream and putting it on to solve ringworm and Mark McGuire. You know, big difference. Jose Canseco, you know, Barry Bonds, you know, all different people, but same situation. Doping.
Trying to get bigger, trying to get faster, trying to get stronger while you're healthy. That's wrong. But when you're injured and you're trying to get better, why not use all the options that are afforded to you? And that includes things that stimulate your systems already to regenerate, right? And that's what steroids are doing at this point. And so I just think we have to fucking be careful blanketing and saying, cheater! You know, is he cheating because he's trying to get better? Or is he cheating because he's sick and injured and trying to heal? It's two different things.
And you brought up another good point about that being used a lot in South America.
Oh, it's really common.
So
Clusterball
or something like that. But maybe it was something mom gave him, you know, when he had ringworm or something.
One would hope, like, it was, he went to Dominican Republic and like the witch doctor next door. No, it was auntie. Auntie was like, yeah, you look like you got a ringworm.
Put some of this on.
Put this on her. You make your penis grow. You play with yourself. It's very viscous.
I don't know if he needs that, but
no. That's
another subject for another day. So, right. Yeah, I do see your point. You know, I think there's a fine line with it, and I'm surprised the Major League Baseball Players Association hasn't tried to define that fine line, too, where there is a difference between, you know, the doping Barry Bonds types and somebody that's, I used this inadvertently and didn't plan on it, because they suspended him for 80 games, and, you know, that seemed a little harsh in itself.
I mean, does it seem harsh because you and I are Padre fans and we like Tatis and he's a genuine fucking asset to the team? Or is it just across the board how it's supposed to be applied? Like, I should look at this and say, well, you know, who's the most recent guy Manny, who are guys that were juiced recently that everybody would like? Was it Nelson Cruz? Nelson Cruz is a good example of that, man. Mm-hmm. He mea culpa'd his way right back into a fucking starring job. And how old is that motherfucker?
30s.
Gotta be. But it's so funny. 30s. Like, as a 50-year-old, I finally look at 30-year-olds and go, God, those guys are fucking old.
Yeah.
22-year-old making a $330 million contract, I would imagine, unless he's got someone sitting on him with his decision saying, no, you can't put that in your mouth. Don't put that near you. Or, you know, hey, maybe we should skip going to, what is it called, Dominican Republic this year for winter ball. Maybe it's a bad idea. You didn't really do good last year. You kind of fucked yourself up for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not go there this year. And while we're there, Lake, can we take a minute to talk about his fucking shoulder?
Yes.
Okay, let's clean everything up while we're in there. Make him into a bionic boy, you know, rebuild him for $6 billion. He'll be like Steve Austin, a man barely alive. Don't you remember $6 Million Man?
Yes. Okay. I'm just thinking the team is like the $6 Million Man, barely alive.
We can rebuild him.
Yes.
We can make him bigger, faster, stronger.
And that's what AJ Preller said, you know, before the trade deadline. And he tried to do that, make him bigger, better, and stronger. And look at what's happened. Now Tatis gets busted for using whatever the hell that thing is.
Can I make something really, really weird in a pitch? What if the Padres organization already knew what was going on, knew that he had tested positive, and it was in the reporting time? And so, remember, they were delaying for no reason. Nobody could believe it. Why are they delaying him from getting back? Because they knew the suspension would take place once he got back on playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that's what was, we should look at that. That's an interesting part, that the Padres knew. And at the same time, what were they doing? In the papers and everybody else, they were going hard for who? They were going hard for Juan Soto. Did they already know that they were losing Tatis for the year, regardless of his progress with his health issues? Because they were going to lose him because of his bad boy thing that he did with his fucking cholesterol ringworm medicine. Did they know that this was coming down the pike? And they went hard for Juan Soto, saying, the window is closing. Our fucking star is out. I just believe that they knew something a little bit more, which I'm not casting stones. I'm thinking this is the first time the Padres have been on the right, smart side of the downside of something. Like, you know, they didn't lose their cachet, even though they lose their fucking biggest star. They pick up the next guy in line who's fucking incredible. You could tell me you didn't know much about Juan Soto till you saw him at the home run derby.
Right. And, you know, he's being compared to Ted Williams. You know, I want to see some of that now with the Padres.
Prolific hitting, me?
Yeah, well, oh, you know, just hit the fucking ball.
Did you know Ted Williams' childhood home was up for sale this year?
Yeah.
Can you believe that? I think it's like, not Hillcrest area. I'm trying to think. It's like North Parky. I got to look up where the address is. But the Padres were looking at buying the home up, like, turning it into a Ted Williams shrine.
Well, there you go. Little museum.
Could have been cool. Could have been cool, Ted Williams. Now you just have a parkway named after you. Yeah,
big deal. I bet he's jumping out of his grave about that.
Hey, a buddy of mine who's from Boston was driving along and with me, and we're sitting there, and we go by. He's like, Ted Williams Parkway. Like, fuck, man. Like, even in San Diego, they know the name Ted Williams.
Mm-hmm. Parkway.
Yeah, I was like, no, man, they invented the name Ted Williams here.
Yeah.
You got it backwards.
Now, I guess we did invent it here, though, because he was born here, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was born up at Mercy Hospital up there.
Yeah, so...
Mom is Mexican, dad is Welsh, I think. I want to say something like that.
Yeah, some variety of English.
No, but it's the cool San Diego mix. Like, everybody's a little Mexican.
Yeah, right.
Raquel Welch, boom, half Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Lopez, half Mexican.
Right. I'm half Mexican now, too, after 20-some years of being here and a lot of tacos and burritos ingested.
What's your husband's nationality? Or
Mexican.
Okay, so by injection.
Right.
You're Mexican by injection.
See.
Little love goes a long way, baby.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I love? Oh, by the way, I want to talk about this. The walk-up song for guys, it's always great. You know, I'll ask you this trivia question. I probably asked it to you before. What was Tony Gwynn's walk-up song?
That I don't know, because Tony was basically here before I arrived.
Okay, so it was Fat Boy Slim, Praise You. Praise Him. And I was look at some of the old walk-up songs of old players. But I love that Jorge Alfaro, who's a Colombiano, he's Colombian, and he plays a mariachi song by our good friend Chente, Vicente Fernandez, who's the famous mariachi singer. He's like they call him the Frank Sinatra of mariachi music, although I hear Frank Sinatra is the Vicente Fernandez of swing music. But he plays the song El Rey. Do you know the song at all?
Probably if I heard it.
You'll know it because it's his walk-up song, but it's one of my favorite of all mariachi songs. And it's, the lyrics are very interesting because it's about this guy who tells this woman basically, oh yeah, I'm gone from your life. You think you're happy, but you're sad. You're going to cry when they tell you I'm dead. You know, along that same vein of great love music.
Right.
It talks about him being the king and she's the queen, and the fact that he's not there anymore, she's going to lose her shit. Right. So El Rey is the walk-up song. If you get a chance, play it. I could play it now, but you probably couldn't hear it on this thing.
Right.
But I don't know how to express it. If you don't know the song, it's funny because every Mexican I'm standing up there with in right field sings the lyrics along with it. So I had to learn it. So I was hoping last night that we would see him so I could sing along.
Right. Well, that's what they make YouTube for. After I'm finished, I'll take a look at YouTube and see if I can find it. So, switching directions now and back to the right field mission. How are things out there in the right field lately? Well, that was special.
Oh, I was just playing the song myself in my room.
Oh, okay.
How are things out in right field? What I like is this new old school Padre fans that are up there now. It's people who've suffered through a lot of crappy years having fun watching a good baseball team play. And I don't know how to explain it better than there's a confidence and a joy that I see in most fans up there these days. And that's to be celebrated. That's to be celebrated. I don't want us to get to the point where, you know, where the asshole Dodger fans or butthole Giants fans, giant right. butthole fans, I guess you should say, giant butthole fans.
It's a giant butthole.
The giant butthole fans. I what I do want to see us be is good stewards of the Padre name as fans. I want to see like positive reinforcement. Last night, watching people cheer for fucking Luke and CJ Abrams was fucking delightful. God bless us.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's good. That's good sportsmanship. And like I said, I'm not surprised by it because Luke was popular here.
Was it him or was it his chest moss?
I think it was the chest moss.
My husband is ringing in this phone, so I have to ignore him at the moment.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, by the way, we got married.
Oh, really? When?
Just last week.
Oh, well.
We looked at all the shit going on with the, you know, Supreme Court decisions, and you know we've been together almost 7 years at this point. We're like, yeah, we're not going anywhere, right?
Right.
All right. So let's tie the knot just so that we don't have this right taken away from us at some point. And he asked me that, and I said yes. Although one of my friends says that's not the most romantic way to ask for someone's hand in marriage. And I'm thinking, I'm really practical when it comes to love.
Right.
You know, I'm really practical. No one has delighted me more than Travis, but I'll tell you what, he hates baseball, and I wonder how people does Gabe like baseball? He goes to games.
Well, yeah, he goes. He works there too. So
right. So I mean,
to begin with, he didn't like baseball that much or sports and stuff. But as he spent more time working at Petco Park, he got more into the Padres and into baseball.
Isn't it great? You know, you bring people into the fold.
Say,
you know, that baseball is not dying, but it's losing market shares, I guess. And I think, who the fuck can watch 6 months worth of a sport?
Right.
It's a lot of, for 3 hours a night. Like, you've got to be really dedicated and into drinking.
Seriously, and especially if you have a team like the Nationals or some other rotten team.
My brother Mark lives in Virginia, and he has forsaken his Padres to become an avid Nationals fan.
Good luck with that.
Well, you know, this year he was a little, you know, miffed, but... And another brother of mine living up in the Bay Area is they've been Giants fans for years because they both lived up there. One's an avid A's fan. But it's funny, they when it comes down to it, I think they're honestly diehard Padre fans.
Yeah, in the closet Padre fans.
In the closet, mind you. I know when something bad's happened because I'll be at work and my phone will start blowing up. I look down and think it's like friends of mine on my group chat with baseball. And no, it's my mom saying, get it, pull him out of there.
Yes, mothers.
Yeah. Oh, yes, mothers. No, but I do enjoy the fact that, hold on, I got to turn down my mariachi music here. Okay, sorry.
It sounded like Mickey Mouse on crack.
It was that nice little, you know, laugh cry.
Yeah.
That comes only with the finest of mariachi music. For some reason, I have just been turned on to Mexican music lately. It delights me because I realize how varied it is, you know, from banda music mm-hmm. to reggaeton and like going down the list of great Mexican artists that are out there. But it's becoming more culturally relevant, I guess, is the best way to explain it. Like, it's Mexican culture, you know, as a San Diegan, it's always been there, right? It's just always there. It's right. It's the dominant culture. It is what it is. But I'm seeing it more in national displays. And I'm really digging it, man. I'm digging it.
Sometimes we'll play on Spotify the Mexican rock. That and rock music from Spain is also very good. I might not understand what they're saying, but it's good. It's got a beat, like, and you can dance to it.
Is this like the Gypsy Kings?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I know. Baseball and music, when you think about things that are culturally relevant, and I look at things like walk-up songs and the history of them, and I've got like three or four places where I got lists of the of walk-up songs, because I'm always interested to see who picks what. Like Trent Grisham playing cowboy music, you know, you look at him, you're like, he's a big old strapping black man, but no, he is a Texan. Like, that's the way you have to look at it. Like,
yeah,
as an American, he's a Texan, and that's his fucking that's his gig, right? And you got to respect that and love that. When I look at it in terms of like listening to Alfaro, who's Colombian, playing a mariachi song, it makes me feel good. Makes me feel that I understand a little bit about the world and the mix. Nola, he plays the country songs up there. When you look up in San Diego and you realize KSON, and like there's this whole long history I grew up with country music and country fashion and country lifestyle and country living, being from Ramona, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Surfside stuff, or like the Southeast San Diego stuff, or like even closer to like the South Bay. Like, those are different regional aspects of one cultural landscape that I find fascinating, right? It's the most mixed. I feel like it's got to be one of the most diverse cultural phenomena. I've got buddies down the street. They're Chaldeans. Like, they are fucking knock you in the face Padre fans. Like, their folks grew up in Baghdad, you know? And these guys are like second generation out here, you know, and, you know, and their grandparents grew up out there. I just find that warming as a Californian, as an American, and as a baseball fan, that there is this world. Right now, have you been watching the World Series? What's it called? The Little League World Series?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
Okay, I got a question for you. There's Japanese teams, because there's great Japanese leagues, and we've seen plenty of Japanese players come here, right? And there are tons of, like, Korean players and great Korean leagues throughout Korea, South Korea specifically, that are significant, right? Baseball, as if you look at places, I don't want to say where we've colonized. It's less that. It's more that we're places where we've had bases post-World War II. Like, baseball got planted just as rugby and cricket got planted for the Brits, where they colonized. For us, baseball, right? And what does it take for you to have a baseball team? Like, you need a field, you need a bat, you need a ball, you need some gloves. Like, that's a lot of equipment, man. Soccer, not so much. You just need a ball.
Right.
You can make the nets up. So when you look where developing nations have taken their sport ingestion, look where baseball is in places like Venezuela. Wow. Like, are there some secret CIA camps I don't know about in Venezuela?
I don't know. Like, maybe.
How come it's taken off so well in the Dominican Republic, but it's shit in Haiti? Like, when's the last time you saw a Haitian fucking MLB player?
Long time ago.
So, I ask you this. When you look at the connection between different countries and this American pastime, I don't want to call it a sport. This is a pastime, right? The difference is, what? Like, why is, like, I don't quite think I know the answer to this. Why baseball set up shop in some places? China, for example, like Taiwan, I'm watching the Little League World Series, and the Italian kids are playing Little League. Italian fucking kids.
Wow.
Like, yeah, Guillermo Magalucci. Like, this kid the other day, I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is unreal. But Taiwan has historically had these balls-to-the-wall baseball-playing kids, right? They're notoriously known as like 14-year-old kids playing in the 12-year-old kid league, right? Not good. But there's no Chinese players. Have you seen any players come from Taiwan here?
Not
Do they
really.
Have the same infrastructure of academy sport? Are they the same ones that have academy sport that, let's say, soccer does? Do you know?
I don't know, really.
Japan has these leftover things from the Marshall Plan, right? We basically brought baseball in, then they developed it into this fucking state. You go to a you ever been to Japan or gone to a Japanese game? It's amazing. They've got these great calls, like they have like cheers that they do. Ba 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 ba. For each player, as they come up, they've all got chants like that.
Wow.
And then you've got, what do you call it? They just do these, they're like soccer chants. It's the best way to describe them.
Wow.
Anyway, travel more, see more baseball throughout the world.
That's right. And the thing about baseball for me and people is it's always nice to see all kinds of different people out at the ball games.
Right?
Yeah, it's a mixture of people. And when you come through the gates, and I think I've said this before, when you come through the gates of a baseball game, you know, you're not gay, you're not straight, you're not fat, you're not skinny, you're not a woman, you're not this or that. You're just a Padres fan, hopefully, and not a Dodgers fan coming in. But you know what I mean. You know, we're all equal for a little while, and you're not worrying about what your neighbor's doing or what he is or what he isn't and stuff. And that's the beauty of baseball that I haven't found, you know, with crowds in different sports besides baseball.
I want to share and leave you with this one thought here. I think you'll think it's funny. It's a friend of mine who sent me this. He said he was planning a trip to Los Angeles and asked his girlfriend what she'd like to do. She said maybe they can go to a Dodger game because we haven't been to Petco together yet.
Oh, no.
And my friend said, dump that woman. I married a Dodger fan and it's been rough.
Ooh.
Yeah. Dump that dumper.
Yeah, right away. Quickly. All right, we're out of time. Good talking with you again today. Good seeing you last night at the game, and hope things stay well for you and for Travis, and congratulations again on the nuptials.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate that very much, and I wish you all the best. I hope to see you at more games this year. I extend the invitation. I'll give you my seat.
Okay. I'll let you know what dates I'm looking at.
All right, brother.
All right. Well. You too. Thanks for coming on. All right. And always an interesting and eclectic conversation when we have Corey, the Dancing Friar, on. Remember, the right field mission is in right field. So even if you don't have a seat over there, come wander by if you feel like going around the park and just check out some of the people there. They're really, really cool people. All right. Well done for today. We'll see you next time. Take care of yourself, watch your back, and keep your heart and your mind open. I'll see you next time.